Thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather before your throne of grace. I pray that as I share your word this morning to your people, I shall not speak of my own wisdom, but as the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. I pray, O Lord, for the hearers, O God, that they shall mix the word of God with faith so that they shall profit. We thank you that you always send us a word. The Bible says that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. Give us direction this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for a beautiful morning like this. And our very own Bishop Joel is visiting a couple of churches in the Northeast this weekend, and so he asked me if I could preach to you this morning. And so I pray that by the help of the Holy Spirit, I will share the word of God with you. Amen. And this morning, I just want to share with you from a very important topic, which I will call your personal time with God. Your personal time with God. Amen. Now, isn't it interesting that you actually have the privilege to have a personal time with God Almighty? Amen. I think it's a privilege, because we all have special relationships with our fathers, our mothers, our friends, our wives, and our husbands. And, you know, if you have a relationship with somebody who is important, you value that relationship and you are so proud of it. And it's like you say that, oh, President Obama is my friend. I can just pick the phone and call him. Hallelujah. You see. But so far, I'm sure most of us, even if we are invited to a meeting that President Obama is at, you will just be amongst 200 people. You may not have that one-on-one with him. You see what I'm saying? So even though you are in the gathering, you are not close. He can't call you Charlie. Charlie, how? You can't say that to him. But if he was your tight friend, like, I can say Charlie Howe to Akwesi, or, you know, somebody who is very close to me. But somebody that I don't know, I see at files, I was in the meeting, I say, oh, and then you'll be bragging in town that, oh, Charlie, I was in the meeting with President Obama. And you were like on the 200th row, nowhere near him. In the fringes, I tell you. Probably you couldn't even see him well. You had to stretch and tiptoe to catch a view of him, you see. But we can have a close relationship with God. Talking about God, the maker of the heavens and the earth. You can have that tight relationship with him that you can call him, oh, Daddy. You can call him Father. You can call him, you know, you can even have a nickname. You know how sometimes you have a puppy? A lot of people call their fathers puppy, or what do you call your fathers? Old boy. Old man. You know, you all have nicknames for your fathers. Hallelujah. You can have that personal relationship with God such that you have a special name for him. Dado. Daddy. You know, hallelujah. So today I'm going to show you I'm going to show you secrets of having that personal relationship with God. Amen. So let's talk about the 7 secrets of a quiet time. Okay. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, quiet time, quiet time, quiet time. There's even a song. Quiet times, I can't sing like Zoe, though. I won't even attempt it. Amen. But the quiet time is that period where you are alone with God, where it's just you and Him, nobody else, not your spouse, not your children, just you and Him, chatting, talking about deep things, talking about secrets, private things that only He and you know about, nobody else. That's a quiet time. Hallelujah. And the first point there is that during your quiet time, you develop the most important relationship of your life. During your quiet time, you develop the most important relationship of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we are naturally relational. Do you understand what I mean by we are naturally relational? That means that we are not created to be on our own. We are created to be with each other. Okay? If you look in Genesis, when God created man, He said that it is not good for man to be alone. And so He created for him. Even though God had created the animals, the birds of the air, the fowls, the animals that crept on land, He had created all those animals. And then He created Adam. And then He said, it is not good for this man to be alone. Because the man could not communicate with frogs, pigs, sparrows, snakes, etc. So He decided to create someone for him that he could relate with. And so He created the woman. And since then, man has been relating with man. It's unfortunate some people decide that their best friends are animals, dogs. They fight for rights of animals. Some people don't even marry and decide to have a pet for a companion, a cat or a dog. But that is not how God made us. Hallelujah. That's why God created Eve for Adam, so that we can relate with each other. Amen. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, can you help me with Genesis chapter 3, please? You will see that God wanted to relate with man. So God came to the Garden of Eden to visit with Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. Please go to verse 8. Hallelujah. Now this was after the snake had visited Eve. And what happened was that the snake, being the serpent, who is also the devil, whose name is Satan, convinced Eve to eat the apple, which God had said that of that tree they must not touch or eat the fruit. So after they had fallen, what happened was that their eyes opened and they realized that they were naked. Before then, they were naked, but they did not know that they were naked. But after they had eaten of that fruit, so after they fell to the temptation, they realized they were naked and they decided to cover themselves. Now, if you read from verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, the question here is that, can we go back to that verse, please? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. How did they know that it was God who was coming? Could have been any of the other animals walking around. But they knew that it was God because God visited them many times previous to this. And so they knew His voice. They knew when He had come around because they were used to it. But this time, when God was coming, they were afraid. And they hid themselves. So you see, God wants to have a relationship with us. In the garden, it was God who came to them. He came to the garden in the cool of the day. So He came to His people.
Hallelujah. But after the sin, after sin came, it is us who have to go to God. We have to return to Him. We have to approach Him. Hallelujah. And we can do this in our quiet time. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? So even God was surprised that, under normal circumstances, as soon as you hear me coming, you feel my presence, you appear. You come and meet me. You come where I am. But this time, where are you? Where art thou? Hallelujah. Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I know. You see, so the blaming game starts. He said, Adam, where are you? The last time I came to visit you, you came to meet me at the gate. You came running. You know, but this time, where are you? And then Adam said that, I'm naked now, so I'm afraid. It's like, how did you know that you were naked? You see, many times we hide from God because we know that we have sinned, or we know that we are not walking right, or we know that we are doing something that we don't want Him to know or see. But God already knew what they had done, you know. But God always leads you on to confess or to say yourself what you have done. God knew that they had eaten the apple. He's all knowing. So many times God knows that, you know, we have fallen in sin, we are doing something we don't want Him to see, etc. But He still wants you to come to Him. Do you understand? Yeah. He still wants us to approach Him. He still wants us to read our Bible. He still wants us to have our quiet time. No matter how far you have fallen, no matter what fruit you have eaten. Hallelujah. And then He said to Eve, What is this that thou hast done? Because God could see the far-reaching effects of what she had done. So what is this that thou hast done? You see. Now going back to the blaming game. He said, It is the woman that you gave me. It is she who gave me this fruit to eat. Hallelujah. Many times we blame what God has blessed us with. We use that as the reason why not. We cannot obey Him anymore. Or the reason why not we cannot even have our quiet times anymore. Because Adam was blessed with a wife. Now, the wife has become the reason why he cannot approach God anymore. So, is it your education that God has blessed you with? Is it your degrees? Or is it your new job? Or what they call you at work now? Boss? CEO? Managing director, supervisor, whatever that title is that what has now come between you and God? Ask yourself that question. You know how sometimes you are promoted and then we begin to feel very good and very big. Now we don't need God anymore. Now I'm married, I don't need God anymore. Now I have children, I can't have my quiet time. Do you see? So many things. Now I have friends. So I've got a new beloved. So away with quiet time. But anything that you have, it is God that has given it to you. Amen. And so God gives us many blessings. And His intention is not for us to make those blessings more important than He is. Hallelujah. Now in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hallelujah. Does this scripture not amaze you when you read it? That all the things that we do for God, can God one day come and say that, I never knew you? Sheila, that would be painful, isn't it? Yeah, every day you wake up Sunday morning, you dress, you come to church. Gertrude, you come all the way from Alameda and you haven't even slept in the night. Then you come and sit here and the pastor will preach. Hey, God, today you are saying you don't know me. Do you see? But the Bible is saying that one day God may say that, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Is it possible? Sandra, what do you think? Hallelujah. Maybe you even speak in tongues. You prophesy. You witness. You come early to arrange chairs. You carry instruments. Michael, can God say one day, I never knew you? Hallelujah. It would be serious. You see, but it seems that we get it wrong. Because God is more interested in our relationship with him than in the work that we do for him. Hallelujah. But we reverse it and think that those of us who are doing the work of God, we are closer to God. We are more important. Do you see? We might as well call this place the Public Works Department, PWD. Where we come and work for God to see that, yes, we have worked. But it's not a Public Works Department. God wants to relate with us on a personal note, each and every one of us. Hallelujah. I learned to have my quiet time when I became born again. I didn't know what quiet time was. I used to go to an Anglican church. And I didn't know what quiet time was. I mean, you read your Bible once in a while. And even that, you know. But it was when I got into a charismatic church, and into Lighthouse in particular, that I realized that, oh, every day I have to put some 30 minutes aside at least and have what you call a quiet time where I open my Bible, I read it, and then I have a devotional, I read it. And that is my, it's like my fuel for the day. Do you understand? You cannot step out of your house without having your quiet time. Without saying hello. If you live with your father in the house, do you just wake up in the morning and walk out? We don't do that. We go and say, good morning, daddy. I'm leaving. And then you show respect. Hallelujah. So it's a kind of, you live, this is God's house. The world, we are in it. Before you step out, you say, daddy, good morning. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So God is more interested in our relationship with him than in the work that we do for him. So it's good to work for God. It's good to sing in the choir. It's good to arrange the church, sweep, and all that. And even bring food for us to eat. Hallelujah. But your relationship with God is more important. Amen. Powerful. So let's continue with the second point, which is that having a quiet time makes you develop the most important personal habit of all times. Okay? Having a quiet time makes you develop the most important personal habit of all times. A regular time with your Creator. Now, what's a habit? Hallelujah. What is a habit? Can anybody tell me what a habit is? Should I? Something you do all the time without thinking. You do it all the time. Yes. It becomes part of you. You can't quit. That's powerful. That's not a habit. She shouldn't make that a habit, right? Okay. So the definitions are correct. So he said something you do all the time, you cannot quit. Because when you quit, something happens to you. Like people who take drugs. When they try to quit, all kinds of things happen to them physically in their bodies. So it's like a sickness. So in order for that thing not to happen when they try to quit, then they keep taking the drugs. Because, doctor, you can help me out. What do you call it? When you are trying to quit. Withdrawal symptoms. Have some people been taking drugs here? Just joking. Forgive. Yeah. So having a quiet time must be so much a part of us that when we don't have it, we get withdrawal symptoms. When you don't have your quiet time, you don't feel at ease. You feel restless. You feel that today is not a good day. You don't feel comfortable because when you left home, you didn't go and greet your father and you left. And you know how it says, when you leave home and then you come, then your father will be waiting for you. Where did you go? Because you didn't tell him where you were going. Hallelujah. So the most important personal habit that anyone could form is that personal quiet time you have with God every single day. Every single day. Now, a lot of us have habits which are not addictions. I mean, I won't call drug addiction. But we have certain personal habits that we cannot stop. For example, cleaning your house. Yeah, some people have OCDs. That's also another level. Obsessive compulsive disorders. You can also go to another level with that. Yes. But simple things like when you wake up in the morning, every day you brush your teeth. Hopefully. Yeah. But it is something you find everywhere people brush their teeth. Even where there's no toothbrush or toothpaste, they will go and get a stick and you just clean your teeth, clean your mouth. And you realize that when you don't do it, you don't feel comfortable. You don't feel free. Even when somebody asks you a question, you can't answer. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that having your personal quiet time is far more important than brushing your teeth in the morning. So if walking out of the house without brushing your teeth makes you uncomfortable, then walking out of your house without having your quiet time should make you even more uncomfortable. Hallelujah. What other habits do people have? Watching soccer. Yes. It's like no matter where you are, once you know that your team is playing, what's your team? Accra has Suffolk. You have to watch it. Kotoko. Oh, they scored who? Hearts. Who scored the Olympics? Kotoko, as usual. Hallelujah. Amen. What other habits do we have? Hey. It's a modern habit. You know, Facebook. In fact, Facebook can be addictive. I hardly go on my page, but I realize that when I do, you don't realize where the time goes, or you don't even, there is no stopping. Because you want to see this, and you see this person, oh, and then you start to ask, what about this person? Then what? On and on and on. That's why I don't go on it often, because I need about an hour or two
to just go on Facebook, and it's not feasible. Hallelujah. Some people exercise regularly, habitually. You know, it's a good habit. So you find out that some habits are very good, some are very bad, like the drug addiction. And Facebook, I wouldn't say it's a good habit. It's quite a bad habit. For you to be on there for so long. I don't think it's a habit that we should form at all. Hallelujah. So I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible of people who had habits. Okay. Some people who had habits in the Bible. Okay. And the first person is Jesus Christ. Jesus had a habit. You know what his habit was? Wow. He had a habit of going to church every Sunday. In Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, that means as was his habit, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Okay, so he had a habit of going to the synagogue every Sunday or every Sabbath. Okay, Shabbat. Is it Shabbat? Yeah. Amen. The second example of Jesus' habits is found in John 18. John chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. John chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. Okay, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the raven of the Kidron, where there was a garden, in which he entered with his disciples. Verse 2. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place. Now look at this, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Often. So Judas knew that, if I go to this place, by all means, I'll find Jesus. Because it was his habit of going there. It was his habit of going there. Now look at the third example. And this is Daniel. Okay? Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel 6:10. Daniel 6:10. Now, Daniel was a prime minister, okay? And he has a very high job. How many of you have anything equivalent to being a prime minister? Sheila is smiling. I think she's almost there. Amen. Receive it, Sheila. You never know. Receive it. Amen. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, now there was a conspiracy to throw him out. Okay, and he knew about it. He entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Wow. Hallelujah. He knelt down 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God. Remember, his window was facing Jerusalem. And the Bible says, as he had been doing previously. So even though Daniel knew, in fact, what had happened was that the people wanted to kick Daniel out. But it was like, how can we get the king to not like this Daniel? You know the story of Daniel. So they told the king that, king, you are so great, you are so good. Now let everybody worship you, the king. If anybody worships any other god apart from you, the person must be killed. They made the king sign. So if they find anybody praying to God, the person will be killed. And Daniel knew that. That's why I said, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he didn't care about their whatever. They'll kill him. He wasn't afraid. He knew that, look, my God, I need to pray to him 3 times a day. I will do it. Whether a document has been signed to get me or not, I will still kneel down and pray 3 times a day. And he did it. Do you see? And that was when he was arrested and taken into the lion's den. And what happened?
The lions couldn't chew him up. Yeah. So sometimes we need to stand on our ground, you see, and not be afraid of what man can do to us. You see. So these are three examples. Jesus Christ went to the Sabbath every Sunday. He went to a particular garden to pray often, and that was how Judas was able to know where to find him. And then the third example is that Daniel, he prays three times a day, even when he knew that he would be arrested for praying. He didn't care at all. It was his habit to pray. Amen. So are we planning on developing a habit of having our quiet time every day? Amen. Okay. So where am I now? The third point is that during your quiet time, you draw near to God. Okay. Remember I had said that in the Garden of Eden, it was God that came to his people. By this time, we are going back to God. So when you have your quiet time, you are actually approaching God. You are drawing nearer and nearer to God. Amen. In James chapter 4 and verse 8. James 4, 8. James 4, 8 says that draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay? I'm going to read it in French now. Approchez-vous de Dieu, et il s'approchera de vous. Okay. Nettoyez vos mains, pécheurs. What does that mean? Oh. Pécheur. Purifiez vos cœur. Homme irresolu. Double-minded people. Cœur is heart, right? Cœur is heart. Purifiez vos cœur. Okay. Huh? Purifiez vos cœurs. Homme irresolu. Wow. Monique, tu comprends? Très bien. D'accord. Kwame, tu comprends? Purifiez vos cœurs. Amen. All right. So when we draw near to God, God also comes near us. As in any relationship, the more time you spend with somebody, the closer you get to the person, isn't it? How many people have beloveds here? Only one, only two, three. Hey, people, you don't have beloveds. Gloria, don't you have a beloved? Your hand is not up. Ah. We don't like such things, so. I also have a beloved. Pastor Mulene has a beloved. Amen. So, Akwesi, isn't it true that the more you talk to Gloria, the more you get to know her? Yeah. Is it true? Yeah. He wants the man to tell us more things. Wow, it's so true. Anybody here that has fallen in love before, the more you speak with your beloved, the more you get to know the person, the more you fall in love, isn't it? Husbands and wives, the more you get closer to your wife or your husband, the more you get to know the person, isn't it? Not only the good sides of the person, but also the bad sides. Hallelujah. No, it's true. Be practical. Recently, Bishop was preaching a message, and he said that, look, when you are courting, you just see the person, you know, the face of the person. After marriage, all the people on the back seats, they come in front. All the things that were in the person's back pockets, they appear. you begin to see that, hey, the person has been eating salad and jollof and things. Apparently, that's not his main staple. Just trying to impress you. But after the marriage, then you are going to see requests. Bat soup. Eh? Bat. Soup made from bats. Have you eaten some before? Uh-huh. Toaster, fee and whatever. Banku and okra soup. Fufu. I mean, things that you have to labor to produce. All the things that were hiding at the back, they'll come to the front. You know, but you will not experience this unless you are in a certain close relationship with the person. You see. And isn't it also true that when you don't know somebody, sometimes you kind of put people, you know, you don't really care much about people because you don't know them. And when you get close to the person, you begin to see that, oh, this person is a really nice person. She's very caring. She loves children. She's kind. You begin to see a lot of good things in a person as you draw closer, as you get to know the person. But if you don't spend time with the person, how will you know? Yeah. You won't know. All you have in your mind is, oh, she's quiet, or she's snobbish, or it's because you don't know her. You see. The same way with God. When you draw closer to God, you see that, wow, there are so many things about God that I didn't know. There were so many things about God, how caring he is. He's a father. He has promised me so many things. But you will not know unless you get into the word of God. You see all these promises. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about how we must know the promises of God in order to profit, in order to benefit. Do you see? I believe it's in Hebrews. Chapter 4. Am I preaching anything at all today that is worthwhile listening to? Amen. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 1. It says, let us therefore fear, okay, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. So we can miss out on God's promises. And knowing the word of God will reveal to you a lot of promises, a lot of blessings, a lot of good things that God has given to us. The Bible says that he has given us a lot of good things here on earth, this present time to enjoy. But you need to go through the scriptures to find these things out. Hallelujah. Is it difficult reading the Bible?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Which one? The Old Testament?
Yes.
What version of the Bible do you have? King James Version. Oh. You have King James Version. NASB. Okay. I'm going to teach you something today. I believe it's coming in the next point. Okay. No, it's going to come in another point. But we'll get there. Okay. Now, I was saying that God draws near to you when you draw near to him. Okay. So God can see our little efforts we make to come to him. Okay. So I'm saying have your quiet time every day. Have your quiet time every day. It doesn't mean that when you miss one day, then you become God's enemy. No. But God appreciates every little step you make to get closer to him. And he doesn't condemn. Hallelujah. So let us make little steps to approach him, little steps to become better at having our quiet time. Even if you remember only 2 times in a week, excuse me, it's a good start. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. What not to do is to say that this thing is too hard and then you just give up. But just keep persevering. Because as for the devil, he has a way of making other things look important and big in front of you so that you don't remember to have your quiet time. For example, you wake up early in the morning and one of the big things is that you must not be late for work. So it's glaring in your face. I should not be late for work. Do you see? But if you are diligent, you want to have your quiet time, you wake up a bit earlier than you normally would. If you have to wake up at 6:30 to get out of the house by 7 to catch a bus or beat some traffic to get to the office. So now wake up at 6 instead of 6:30. It's a good start. You may sometimes need encouragement. So if you say, okay, Gertrude and today I've been on Sheila's case the whole day. Okay. Gertrude and Sheila would pair up and each one is going to remind the other about quiet time. It can help. Do you see? But if you are alone, you can easily forget and then it's like nobody knows, so I'm okay. Hallelujah. These are just tips here and there for having your quiet time. Amen. So the more time you spend with God, the more you get to know Him. Number 4, a quiet time makes you read the most important book in the world. Wow. The most important book in the world. It's the number 1 bestseller of all ages. It's never gone to number 2. Yeah. The number 1 bestseller. What do they call it? New York what? New York Times bestseller. Not even New York Times bestseller. Heaven's bestseller. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why do I say this? There have been so many great authors. Shakespeare, Charles Dickens. Who? Who's that? Omar? Oh, Homer. Okay. Who else? Suzanne Collins, what books have you been reading? College students, what books did you read? Okay, authors of your textbooks and all that. But I'm going to show you something. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Okay. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Verse 22. You put them together. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. Okay, what version is this, Pastor? NASB. Okay. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Okay. King James says that knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not for an act of any one person's will. Okay. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has not asked, has not moved men to write a book like the Bible before or since. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Bible is not written by people who are just imagining stories. But they were actually moved by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. Amen. And also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 16 to 17, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. There is no book that makes a man of God perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's no book on earth, only the Bible. Hallelujah. And many authors and many great men of God have even confessed about how great the Bible is. There was one person who said that if they put all the best sellers that have ever being on a scale, one side, and you put the Bible on the other side, you cannot even compare them. And I've forgotten who said this, but it was a great person, a secular person. Okay? And the Bible is the book that has been most translated into most languages. It is found everywhere in the world, even in China and other places that don't believe in God. The Bible is there. There was a man called Voltaire. Voltaire said that, give the Bible 100 years, it will fizzle into history. But today, Voltaire is dead. He's fizzled into history. And the Bible exists still today. And the most interesting part of this is that Voltaire's house, somewhere in France, there's a place called Voltaire. I don't know if that's where his house is. But Voltaire's house is 50 years after he died, became a publishing house for Bibles. So Bibles were made, were published in his house. The person who said that, I give the Bible 100 years, it will disappear. You see. So, you know, you cannot kick against the pricks. The word of God is the word of God. The Bible says that everything shall pass away. But my word. You see, and it looks so simple. We've seen the Bible since we were born. We have had so many Bibles, soft cover, hard cover, Bible stories, pictures, Bible picture book, name it. And then now that you've grown up, King James Version, you are reading NASB, all kinds of versions. It's been translated and it keeps, you can rip all the Bibles you have in your house or in a country, but there will be a Bible somewhere, hidden away from destruction. It will never pass away. It says, my word shall never pass away. So it's the most important book. And if you have your quiet time every day, it means that you are reading the most important book that ever existed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Am I a bit more convincing now about the quiet time? Okay, number 5. A quiet time is your personal school of the word. Okay. It's different when you come to church. There are a whole lot of us, a group of people. We are all hearing the same thing. We are fellowshipping. That's great. But when you have your quiet time, it's your own personal study of the Bible. It's your own personal study of the word of God. And you may say that, oh, like Sandra was saying, it's not all the time that when she reads her King James Version, she understands. But we have a teacher in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. I remember when I became born again, I was a new Christian, and I didn't even have a Bible. But I was on a university campus at that time. Can you imagine? I didn't have a Bible. So one day, and the thing about when you become a Christian, there was this charismatic group, forgotten which group it was, that I got born again in. And I realized that when we go to church, everybody has their Bible and their notebook and their writing. And I'm a new Christian. I've just come. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't have a notebook. I didn't have anything. So I kind of felt out of place. So I decided to go and get a Bible. But then, of course, as a student, I didn't have much money. So I went and took my mother's Bible. And it was a King James Version of the Bible, which I think was the Bible that was given to her when she got married. So I took the Bible. It had a zip. Was black, it had a zip and all that. So I was very, you know, happy that now, me too, I have a Bible. When I go to church, I can also turn pages, you know. But I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the Bible. I didn't understand all those things, you know. And in those days, well, so now, when you get born again, you have counselors. You have people who follow you up. They help you to study the Bible. And there were these two guys on campus. They became my friends. They were following me up. So every time they'll ask me, so do I have any questions? I mean, I've been reading my Bible. If I'm a new believer and I'm reading my Bible, they thought that, oh, by all means, I should have questions. But I said no. So that told them that I wasn't reading my Bible. Because if I did, I would have hard question, because everything is not straightforward, as you may think. So eventually they showed me how to have a quiet time. And then I realized at a point that I had to understand what was written in this Bible. So a prayer that I had was that, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes to understand, to read in between the lines. Those were my exact words in my prayer. To read in between the lines. That means that to see even things that are not written in black and white, you see. And I believe that that prayer helped me to overcome that inability to understand the King James Version. Because it's very poetic. And maybe literature students may understand it somehow better. But it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us and who brings understanding to our minds when we read. These days, the Bible has been translated into various versions. Now you have American Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, Contemporary. There are so many contemporary versions. The Message, New Living Translation, NIV, New International Version. And these have simpler language. Okay, so I would recommend that you get one of these simpler ones that speaks in a language that you understand. Maybe you might think that the King James Version is tongues, but it's not tongues. Makes you sleepy. Yeah. Or you want a picture Bible. Yeah. If you start the Bible by reading Matthew chapter 1, you would sleep. Because that's where all the begats are. You see. So a good way to even get more interested in the Bible and try to understand it is when you are home, let's say after church. So next week, or during this week actually, you go back to what the sermon was on Sunday. And then you try to go through it and read the verses. And then it makes more sense, yes, because now you have something to relate it with. And especially when you remember Bishop Joel's French and his jokes and all those things, it all helps you to understand the Word of God better. Amen. And it's a very important thing to do, because it's even in the Bible that many of us don't go back to the Word of God to read for ourselves. We only take what the pastor says, you know. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, I was saying that the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And I'm going to back that with a verse, John 16, verse 12 and 13. And the Holy Spirit teaches you everything, not only makes you understand the Bible when you read it, but even in your secular daily activities. You are going for an interview. Ask the Holy Spirit to come along with you. He's going to help you to answer your questions. At work, He's going to help you to do your work. At school, He's going to help you. Amen. Because Jesus Christ left and left us with the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. In John 16, 12 and 13, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, now notice that it said He and not it, because the Holy Spirit is a person, okay? And He's also called the Spirit of truth. When He is come, He will guide you into all truth, okay? So the Holy Spirit guides us when we read the Bible and we don't get it. He is our guide. And it's okay, because He's a He can hear you when you speak. So it's okay to say, help me, Holy Spirit, to understand what I'm reading. And He will. Hallelujah. We must learn to walk with the Holy Spirit all the time. And He's by our side. He's in us. Amen. Amen. So your quiet time is your personal school of the Word. Which will lead you to number six. The sixth point is that during your quiet time, you increase in your personal knowledge of Scriptures. you increase in your personal knowledge of scriptures. It must not be that we are regular members of the church, but we are bereft of scripture. You understand bereft of scripture? It must not be. We must be filled with scripture. Hallelujah. Now, two reasons why you must know the word of God is, the first one is in 2 Peter 1, verse 5. It says, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Okay, so you're a Christian. You have faith, all right? But now you have to add virtue to your faith. What is virtue? What is virtue? Virtue is a good moral behavior, isn't it? Yeah. So add to your faith virtue. That's good moral behavior. Okay. And then to virtue, that is to your good behavior, knowledge. Okay. So you become a Christian and you have faith. It's not just okay to, it's like, okay, now I'm a Christian, so I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to smoke anymore. Yeah, it's like you are developing good moral behavior, okay? So now I'm going to dress well. I'm going to go to church every Sunday and all that. That's perfect, okay? But now to that, add knowledge. So now you've stopped drinking, you stop smoking, you stop womanizing and all these things. Now you are coming to church all the time. You have to add scripture to your life. It's not good enough to just obey a set of rules and not know why you obey them. That's dogmatic, isn't it? Yeah. So, for instance, you must know why you stop drinking. Is it because the pastor says stop drinking? So you stop. You must be able to, if somebody asks you, I'll just use my sister as an example, not that she drinks, but somebody asks her, why have you stopped drinking? You have to be able to give the person a biblical explanation. Why now I don't drink? Why now I don't have so many girlfriends or so many boyfriends? Or why now I go to church? Do you see? So that's where the knowledge comes in. But some of us, since we learned John 3:16, we haven't added any other verse. No other. Even John 3:17, we don't even know. Am I speaking the truth? Yeah, but we must add on. Add on, add on. Do you see? John 3:16, then now you've progressed to John 3:17. Then you are going, John 3:18. Then you know something in Malachi. You know something in Genesis. You know something. You are adding knowledge to your virtue. You are adding knowledge to your virtue. And just like how when you go to college, you don't all of a sudden become a nurse. Or you don't all of a sudden become an... what do you become when you go to college? Banker or a doctor. It takes time. You go to first year, then second year, then third year. The same things with the word of God. Sometimes we want to become so quickly that when we are not so quickly, we get discouraged. But it's a day at a time. It's a day at a time. You can even learn a verse in a week. Or even if you are struggling, a verse a month is something. By the end of the year, you have 12 verses in your pocket. One for each apostle. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So add to your faith virtue. Okay, virtue is moral excellence and righteousness or goodness. Some of you are very good. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the second reason why you must know the word of God. So, okay, let's talk about I was talking about why you don't drink anymore. Let me show you a verse. Okay, for example, you've stopped drinking. So go to Proverbs 31. If somebody asks you, why have you stopped drinking? Now, there was a king called Lemuel, and his mother told him something. Now, I believe his mother even told him or prophesied when he wasn't a king yet. Okay, but look at what the mother told this king. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is a verse you all know because we all know it because of the virtuous woman. But many of us don't bother to see what came before the virtuous woman. Okay. So in Proverbs 31, what did I do wrong? Are you there? Okay. Pastor Munene will take us through. Oh, please start from verse 1. I want you to see who Lemuel is. Okay. The words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Okay. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. You see, I'm sure she prophesied when he was even young and was not yet a king. You see, so she was preparing him for kingship. Many of us sitting here are kings and queens, but we don't know it yet. But we need somebody to prophesy this into our lives and tell us that, look, give not your strength to women. Hallelujah. It is not for kings, oh Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. So if you see yourself as a king, you will not go near wine, because it will destroy you. You see in the verses that follow, it says, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So in those days, the kings were the judges. Remember the King Solomon had to judge between two women. What if he was drunk by the time the woman came? All the women and the children, they all die. Hallelujah. So what he's saying is that you are an important person. Do not give yourself to something that will destroy you. Because as for drink and as for women, it will destroy you. In Proverbs, again, the Bible says that a whorish woman will bring a man to a piece of bread. That means that she will finish you. By the time you are finished, you feel like you are a piece of bread in water. I mean, useless. A piece of bread in water, that's even worse. A piece of bread that's dry, okay. But now, just add water to it. It's like no hope. You know, but by means of a whorish woman. Okay. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. If you are being hunted for by an adulteress, you must see that your life is precious. You have to try and hide it from such a person. Hallelujah. So if somebody asks you now why you don't drink, tell the person, look, I'm a king. I don't give myself to things that will destroy me. Yeah. Why don't you have 5 girlfriends anymore? You have an answer. Why don't you have 5 boyfriends anymore? You see. So Christianity is not dogmatically following a set of rules. But you need to know the scripture that would help you to understand why you are doing something. And if somebody asks you, you know what to say. Amen. So have you learned something from King Lemuel? Okay. If they ask you, why are you a submissive wife? Why are you so goody-goody? Why do you do everything for your husband? You like your husband too much. This. Hey. Proverbs 31 again. If you go to verse 12. Says, she, the virtuous woman, she shall do him good all the days of her life. She shall do him good. Do you understand? Then you see that you are a virtuous woman. Hallelujah. You see, it's all the days of her life. You see. You want to do the man good. He's your husband. Who else should you do good to? But some of you want to do good to your boss, your pastor, your somebody else, but not your husband. Say, this man, his head. this man. But when it comes to somebody else's husband, it's like, yeah. No, do him good. That makes you a virtuous woman. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, as you stress, you have your quiet time. Little scriptures like these will come your way. And don't just read it 30 minutes. 30 minutes is over. And then, Charlie, I'm getting late. Then you just gather your things and go. But you think about what you have read. You meditate on it. So, for example, if you had Proverbs 31, verse 1 to 6 for your quiet time that day, you think through it. So who is a king? Who is a prince? Why did the woman say this to her child? Who is he now? Now he has become a king. Okay. Because he doesn't have to pervert judgment. Okay. So if I have to do my work properly, then I shouldn't drink. Because by all means, drink will have an effect on me. How about women? This. Okay. Now I'm a woman, so I don't need women. But maybe a man. Okay. So I shouldn't have too many boyfriends. I shouldn't even have a boyfriend at this time. I don't need it. You know, so you think about all the things that the verse is saying. And then even when you don't memorize it, you have an idea what that verse says. And you can even remember, oh, somewhere in Proverbs 31, this is what it says, even though you cannot quote it verbatim. Is it verbatim? I understand some small English. Kwame is laughing at me at the back. Amen. So that's how we go, you know, with the quiet time thing. So the second point is that the word of God is the sword of the spirit. Okay? The enemy attacks us all the time. You must have the word of God to fight him. That is what Jesus used to fight the devil when he came to him with temptations. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we have the word of God in us, for example, let's use this drink thing. I don't know why I'm talking about alcohol, but anyway. That you go to work and there's an outing. You know how it is sometimes. The whole office is going for lunch, especially Friday evenings. They are going to happy hour. They are going to a grill and bar or bar and grill, whatever. You see, and you're amongst all these unbelievers. And they are all ordering this, that. And then you ask for water and they begin to look at you as if, you know, you are from out of space. You ask for iced tea, at least it's colored. It looks like, what does it look like? Guinness. Looks like beer. Yeah, maybe iced tea without sugar. You know. But then you have to be able to convince yourself that this is not the place to compromise. This is not the place to pretend or try to fit in. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. If you remember Daniel, he was not afraid to pray three times a day, even though he knew that they were out to get him if he prayed. So there's no need to compromise in front of unbelievers at all. Do you see? So Satan is going to tempt you with the alcohol and all that. Now you can quote to him the verse in Proverbs 31. It says, not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine. And then you're happy. Yeah, just quote a verse. Do you see? So as you have your quiet time and you learn more verses and you understand more verses, you'll be able to fight the devil better. And you realize that you're becoming a stronger Christian. Your faith is increasing. Your knowledge of God is increasing, etc., etc. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's a weapon. A very, very powerful weapon which you must all yearn to have. Hallelujah. So I'm ending in a couple of minutes. The last point is that during your quiet time, you experience the presence of God. You experience the presence of God. Now, Adam experienced the presence of the Lord in the garden until he backslid. You see. So remember, I was telling you that God used to come and visit them in the evenings, the cool of the day, until they backslid. So they enjoyed the presence of God. They enjoyed fellowship with God. They enjoyed talking with God, you know. When you have your quiet time, it's like you are talking with God. Remember I said in the beginning, it's just you and him. Nobody else around you. No children crying. No husbands tugging your clothes for anything. You know, just you and God. And you enjoy his presence. And then he talks to you through his word. Hallelujah. Now, if you know that the word of God, John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. So the word is God. Do you see? So as you fellowship with the word, you are fellowshipping with God. That's it. So as you have your quiet time, it's like saying good morning, Daddy, every day before you leave home. And then he'll bless you and then you leave. Anything you go and encounter out there, know that God has already taken care of it. Hallelujah. Because there are things out there. On your way to work, at work, your way from work, there are things out there. Hallelujah. And always pray for the protection of the Lord at work all the time. Amen. So what are the seven secrets of the quiet time? Number one is, most important relationship, more important than even the relationship between you and your spouse. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let your spouse come between you and God. Hallelujah. Number two, the most important personal habit. And I said that it's more important than brushing your teeth. If you feel uncomfortable going out without brushing your teeth, then you should feel more uncomfortable going out without having your quiet time. Amen. Number three, you draw near to God and he draws near to you. The closer you get to somebody, the closer that person also gets to you, and the more you know each other. Amen. Number four, makes you read the most important book of the world. It was a book that was written because holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Number five, it's your personal school of the word. The quiet time is your personal school of the word. Amen. Amen. And in that school, the Holy Ghost is your teacher. Amen. Amen. Number six, yes, you increase in your personal knowledge of scriptures, okay? So each time you have your quiet time, you memorize the scriptures, you meditate on the scriptures, you try to get the meanings of, if you have your quiet time and you don't understand, you can call any of us, Pastor Munene, Lady Pastor Akwele, myself, even Bishop Joel, and just say, I read this scripture, I just don't get it. It's okay. We all started like that. I told you, when my follow-up people asked me, do I have any questions? I said no, because I wasn't reading it, and then I wasn't understanding it, you know? So it's okay. Number seven, you experience the presence of God. Hallelujah. So you enjoy God's presence before you leave home, and he is with you when you leave home. Amen. Amen. All right. Shall we rise up to our feet? Hallelujah. Amen. And I want everyone to just pray at this time and ask God for the grace to obey his word and the grace to be a doer of his word. Ask God to help you to have your quiet time. I want you to just pray and just tell God about maybe the difficulties that you have when it comes to quiet time. Tell him about your work schedule. Ask him for grace to fit the quiet time into your schedule, into your day. Because the grace of God makes everything possible. The grace of God helps us. The grace of God makes us do what we cannot do by ourselves. Ask God for the grace to have a quiet time. Thank you, Jesus. Shikalala baba brusuku tuya kamaye. Inaramashuku tuya la mama mama la mama 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 kuchuya. Usi kamanu shuku tuya kamala baba. Father, we thank you, O God, for today. We thank you for your word that has come to us, Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for this reminder about our quiet time. Father, we want to draw closer and closer to you, O God. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, that when we take our time to spend time with you in the mornings, a personal time with you, Lord. Father, we will draw closer to you. That we will develop the most important relationship, O God. That we will read the most important book. That we will develop the most important habits, O God, of our lives. Give us the grace, O Lord, to develop this habit, Lord. That we will go on, even when we fall, that we will rise up and go on and on and on again with this relationship with you, O God. Help us, Father. Forgive us that we have not done as we should. And we commit obstacles and things that come in between us and you, O God. Help us to be overcomers in the name of Jesus. Give us the grace, O Lord, to include the quiet time in our schedules, O God. Give us the grace, O God, to even understand the word of God when we read it, O God. And help us, Father, to be Christians, the Christians that you want us to be, O God. Your children that you purposed for us to be. Grant us the grace, O Lord, to have our quiet time daily. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated.